Will you turn with me once again, please, to that 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel? And will you look with me at the first 32 of the chapter? Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and the first 32. And they, the disciples, with the Lord, were in the way, going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. I want to direct your attention in particular this morning to the first 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And I want to pick out those words, and as they followed, they were afraid. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of discipleship, or following the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer is, of course, a disciple of Christ. We're not apostles. We are not those specially sent forth ones, but we are disciples, as in followers of Christ. And it is the daily duty of every Christian, every believer, every blood-bought, blood-washed Christian to seek to follow the Master, to seek to walk in His footsteps, to be able to sing truthfully, where He may leads me, I will go, for I have learned to trust Him so. His divine will is sweet to me, for I remember Calvary. So every morning that we rise, we ought to have this before our minds, that it is our duty each day and each hour of each day and every moment of each hour of each day to faithfully and to fully follow the Lord wherever He may lead, to obey His every command, to abide in the center of His will, and to please Him in all things. To be able to say with the Lord Jesus, to as high a measure as we can, this side of eternity, I do always those things that please Him. In our text for this morning, we read of the disciples following our Lord Jesus up to Jerusalem. And we are told that as the disciples followed the Savior to Jerusalem, that they were amazed. We read in our verse, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. The Greek word translated in our version of the scriptures, amazed, means dumbfounded. It means to be stupefied with surprise, to be astounded, to be amazed or astonished. So that as the disciples followed the Lord Jesus up to Jerusalem, they were dumbfounded. They were amazed. They were astonished that the Lord Jesus should go back up to Jerusalem. You see, they remembered what had happened before and how the leaders and rulers of the Jews sought to kill him, and they still were anxious to lay hold of him that they might destroy him. And so the fact that the Lord Jesus, in the light of this, was making his way up to Jerusalem again, amazed, astounded the disciples that he should be going back up to Jerusalem. They were dumbfounded. They just couldn't understand what the Lord was doing. For the life of them, they couldn't fathom why he should lead them back up to Jerusalem. For he was not only leading himself into danger, but he was leading them into danger. And they couldn't understand it. They were amazed. And not only so, but we're told that they were afraid. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And again, the Greek word translated in our version, afraid, means to be alarmed, to be exceedingly afraid, actually to be terrified. So if we put these together, we see that the disciples, when our Lord Jesus started out on his journey back to Jerusalem, they were amazed, they were astonished, they were dumbfounded that he should do so. And although they had courage enough to follow him, deep down in their hearts, they were afraid. They were terrified. Terrified. Because, as I have said, they knew the danger that lay ahead for the Lord, and they were afraid for him. They were afraid of what they Jews and the leaders of the Jews would do to their master, and they were afraid for themselves. And into the bargain, the Lord confirmed their fears. For we read that he took them aside and he said unto them, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. So the Lord really confirmed what they feared. And so as they followed the Lord, their hearts were filled with fear. It must be said that the disciples were brave men. For a brave person is not one who knows no fear. A brave person, rather, is one who conquers his fear and who does what he has to do in spite of his fear. Anybody who has no fear at all, there's something very wrong with them. It's human to be fearful and timid. That's a built-in thing. There's a sort of a sense of self-preservation that's in us all. It's even in the lower animal creation. And they will flee at any sight of danger. And men are no different. There is an inbuilt fear of death or of placing themselves in harm's way. That's perfectly natural and normal. So the brave person is not the person without fear. The brave person is the person who conquers his or her fear and does what they have to do in spite of their fear. So the disciples were brave men. As they followed the Lord, they were afraid. They were terrified. But in spite of their fear, their faith prevailed, and they followed the Lord. As we look at this text this morning, I'd like us to consider for a little while a number of things about the disciples on this occasion as they followed the Lord up to Jerusalem. And we will begin by considering their fear. And as they followed, they were afraid. You know, dear friends, make no mistake about it. It takes courage to fully follow the Lord. It takes courage. And you know, sometimes people, especially the younger ones, they look at a Christian and say, oh, isn't he a sissy? Or isn't she sort of soft in the head? But listen, it takes a lot of courage to follow the Lord. Any old dead fish can go with the current and down the stream. It takes a live fish to swim against the current. And it takes young people to be very courageous to follow the Lord in spite of the fact that they are subjected to all manner of fun-making and abuse from their fellow young people. It takes courage when you're young. It takes courage when you're older. It takes courage to fully follow the Lord. You remember what God said to Joshua when he was appointed by God to lead Israel into the promised land. The Lord says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So the Lord told Joshua to be strong and very courageous. What to do? To keep all the law, to obey him in every respect, to follow every jot and tittle of the law as recorded by Moses. It required not only courage, but it required Joshua to be very courageous. And so, dear friends, if we would set out to follow our Master as we should and fully follow the Lord, and if we would resolve this morning to follow him in all things, to obey his every command, in all things both great and small, let me tell you, that takes courage. It takes courage. And there are many Christians, and they hold back from fully following the Lord. They follow the Lord, but some of them follow him afar off. Or they do not fully follow him. They do not follow him in all things. They are negligent of some duties because of fear in their hearts, fear of the consequences of fully following the Lord. Some are afraid to fully follow the Lord because they're afraid of what people might think of them or say about them. They don't want to be ill thought of. They don't want people to think that they're fanatics. And so there's a fear of man's opinion and the fear of the face of man. And because of this fear, they do not fully follow the Lord in all that the Lord commands them to do. How many young people, especially that have been brought up in the free church and whose parents believe in believers' baptism, therefore they have not had their children baptized as infants, and these young people have grown up and they've become believers, and they're still not baptized at all. They're totally ignoring our Lord's ordinance of baptism. And many are ignoring it or failing to obey it because they're afraid. Afraid of what people will think. Afraid of what people will say. They don't want to look silly. I remember having a baptismal service in Bambridge, and we had these gowns, Presbyterian blue they were. Now, they weren't very flattering ladies. They were more like a monk's habit. You know, went right down to their feet and had lead weights in the bottom of them. And it was good, thick material. And they were good. They did the job. I remember two young ladies coming in. Oh, they were very fashion conscious. One of them said, look, I'm not wearing that. I said, you don't wear that there, you'll not be baptized here. They didn't want to look unfashionable, I suppose. And for many reasons, it's not only this, I'm just mentioning that as an example. There are many Christians and they are living in disobedience. Now, I'm not telling you or preaching any particular mode of baptism. I'm not presenting one mode before another. I'm just simply saying that baptism is an ordinance of the Lord and it should not be neglected, totally overlooked altogether. Now, if you have been baptized in a particular form and mode and you're happy with it, God bless you. But if you've never been baptized and you're a believer, you should be baptized. How many there are, the Lord says, concerning his table, this do in remembrance of me. And when it comes to the Lord's table, or the day or the occasion of remembering the Lord's death, they get up and they go out and they disobey the Lord. They don't fully follow the Lord. They never come to the table of the Lord, or seldom come. And in a thousand other ways, people do not fully follow the Lord, and often it's because of fear. There are others who are afraid of the financial consequences, or job-related consequences that would follow if they fully followed the Lord and obeyed him in his every command. Just before our scripture, which we are considering now, we read of a rich young man who came to Jesus. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord says, well, go, sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Oh, he didn't like that. He wasn't prepared for the consequences of fully following the Lord. And there are many who are saved. The Lord doesn't say to everybody, sell all that you have. But often, whenever we are saved, if we are to fully follow the Lord, there are situations we find ourselves in business or in our employment. And in order to fully follow the Lord will mean that we have to forfeit some financial benefit, or maybe take a reduction in our finances in order to fully follow the Lord. And there are many who are afraid of that. They will not fully follow the Lord because of fear of financial loss of some kind, or because of the implications in their employment. With many, it's a sort of an indefinite fear. We could go on pinpointing particular fears, but you can preach to yourself, what is the fear that's keeping you back from following the Lord? What is it you're afraid of that keeps you back from wholeheartedly going all the way with Jesus? Some, it's a very indefinite fear. In other words, they couldn't put their finger on it. It's just a sense of fear within them. Not of anything in particular, but fear that if they fully follow the Lord, they might not be up to it. Is that how it is with you this morning? You're not fully following the Lord because you're afraid of the fallout. You're afraid of the consequences. And so you follow far off, but you don't follow him fully. And listen, as a result, you're missing out with God. You're not enjoying God's best, you know. And there are many Christians, and they're not happy in their Christian life. Their Christians are saved, they're on their way to heaven, but they're not happy in their Christian life because they're not enjoying God's best, and they're not enjoying God's best because they will not fully follow the Lord. The disciples were afraid, but they followed. As they followed, they were afraid. They were dumbfounded. They were bewildered. They were amazed. They were surprised. They were sort of afraid, even terrified. But still they followed the Lord. And listen, they were sure that they were actually going to die with him. They were sure he was going to die. And they were sure that they were going to die with him. For we read in John chapter 11, verse 16, that Thomas, which is called Didymus, said unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. That's why they were afraid. They were terrified, because they thought the Lord was going to die, and they were sure that they were going to die at the hands of the leaders of the Jews. So it took real courage for them to go. They were afraid, but their faith overcame their fear, and they continued to follow the Lord. Are you following the Lord this morning fully? Oh, perhaps there's fear in your heart. That's understandable. That's human. That's natural enough. But is your faith strong enough to overcome your fear? Oh, that we would all pray that God would make us strong and very courageous, that in this day of apostasy, in this day when the love of many is growing cold, in this day when many are departing from the faith, in this day when to fully follow the Lord is to be in a very small minority, even amongst professing Christians, let us pray, Lord, give me courage, give me strength to fully follow Thee day by day, moment by moment, wherever You may lead me. They feared, but they followed. And in following, they enjoyed sweet fellowship with the Lord. For we read that He took the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto Him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock Him, and shall scourge Him, and shall spit upon Him, and shall kill Him, and the third day He shall rise again. You'll notice that the Lord Jesus took them into His confidence now. Those that followed Him, those that overcame their fear, and by faith followed Him in spite of the danger that lay ahead of them, He gathered them round into a fellowship that few have ever known. And He began to unburden His heart and reveal things to them that He didn't reveal to others. And they entered into a fellowship with Him, and the fellowship of His sufferings that others do not enter into. We read the Lord went before them in all this. He didn't ask Him to go where He wasn't going. He was leading the way. And all they had to do was follow. And oh, the communion they enjoyed with Him along the way. The Lord Jesus did not try to make the matter better than it was, nor to feed them with hopes that he might escape the storm, or that they might escape the storm. But He told them the situation just as it was. He told them the worst of it. But then He also told them that He would rise again, and the outcome of His sufferings would be glorious to Himself and advantageous to all that are His. What communion and fellowship they enjoyed with the Lord. Oh, to be amongst that little group as they walked that road to Jerusalem, as they heard the Lord explain and expound things that were to happen to Him. You'll notice His perfect knowledge of what was going to happen. He knew that the chief priests would condemn Him. He knew the limitations of their power, that they personally couldn't kill Him, and therefore they would hand Him over to the Roman authorities who would crucify Him. He knew all that. He foretold all that. He knew every detail. And He told all this to the disciples. You know, if you fully follow the Lord will share His secrets with you. You will enjoy communion and fellowship with Him that others cannot know and will not know and do not know. He will bring you into His confidence, and He will reveal the deep and the hidden things of His Word to you. He revealed to the disciples things that were going to happen. He revealed the future to them. And so the Lord takes those that fully follow him into close fellowship with himself, into sweet communion with himself, and he unfolds the word to them, and he reveals things to them that they would not otherwise know. Oh, the wonder of the fellowship that they enjoyed. They feared, but they followed and enjoyed close communion and fellowship with the Savior. But notice that they faltered. It's true they followed. It's true they enjoyed fellowship. But whenever they actually got to Jerusalem and all these things began to unfold, and the Lord Jesus was taken in the garden, and when he was condemned to death, we read that they all forsook him and fled. They all forsook him and fled. So their faith and their courage faltered. Now, I don't say this to condemn the disciples, but I just mention it for our comfort and our encouragement. You see, this lets us know that the best of men are only men at the best. This lets us know that the disciples were only poor, weak people like ourselves, and courageous as they were, their courage was not sufficient to support them in the hour of trial. They needed the grace of God to uphold them. And they failed to obtain that grace because they failed in the place of prayer. You remember when they were in the garden? The Lord went a wee bit further and he fell down on his face before his Father and he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He came back to the disciples and what did he find? They were sleeping. He said, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" He says, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." He went away again. He came back and they were asleep again. And they did enter into temptation. They entered into trial because the enemies of the Lord came and took him. And that's when they fled. They failed because they hadn't prayed. Their faith faltered because they were sleeping when they should have been praying. Their courage failed them because they failed to obtain through prayer grace and help for the hour of trial. Brethren and sisters, if we would be faithful unto the Lord, we must pray. If we would not falter in our following of the Savior, we must pray. We must not sleep. We must pray. Are we praying? Are we faithful in the place of prayer, in private, in our homes, in our private devotions? Are we faithful in the place of prayer in the church? Do we come and pray for God's work? We need to pray. The disciples faltered because they failed in prayer. Their faith faltered because they failed in prayer. Their courage let them down because they failed in prayer. And so they faltered. Are you faltering this morning? Are you fully following the Lord, or has something happened to cause you to falter? To cause your courage to fail? Oh, get to prayer. Pray that your faith will fail not. But you'll notice the enduring faith and faithfulness of the disciples. For while they faltered, their faltering was only temporary. It was only temporary. Because when the Lord rose again from the dead, the angel said unto the women who came to the sepulchre, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." So the Lord, the risen Lord, said to them, "Look, go and tell his disciples. I go before them into Galilee and I'll see them there. And remember Peter especially." You see, Peter was the one that denied him with oaths and curses. The one who said, "Lord, I'll die with thee." Yet when it came to it, his courage failed and his faith failed, and he denied the Lord with oaths and curses. But the Lord remembered him. He says, go tell my disciples, and especially Peter. The Lord didn't hold it against him. And you know, the wonderful thing is that when the Lord appeared to them, he did it. He appeared to 11. All of them were there except Judas Iscariot, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But all the 11 whose faith had failed, whose courage had let them down, who had faltered in their following of the Lord for just a little while, it was only temporary, here we find them again. And they are with the risen Lord. And we know the story of the disciples and the apostles, how they went out into all the world and they preached the gospel to every creature, and they filled the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they triumphed victoriously at the end of the day. Maybe you've faltered this morning. Listen, the Lord can renew your faith. He can renew your courage. He can fellowship with you again as he did with the disciples. I go before you into Galilee. There I see you and meet with you. And we know how he met with them, how he was on the beach and he called them and he breakfasted with them, and how he broke bread with them and he had fellowship with them again. That fellowship can be renewed, and you can begin again to fully follow the Lord, and you can accomplish great things through the strength and the grace which he will give. The enduring faith and faithfulness of the disciples, and finally, the favor that the Lord bestowed upon the disciples. Matthew 19:27. We read, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The disciples received a glorious reward. The Lord showed his favor. He promised them they would sit in thrones judging Israel. My dear friends, if we fully follow the Lord, then we will receive that crown of life, that crown of glory, which the Lord has laid up for them that love him. And love is appearing. Oh, the favor of the Lord upon those who fully follow him. It's beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Are you fully following the Lord this morning? Fearfully, a little timid, but following the Lord. Oh, may you continue to do so. Follow him in all things. Do not consider any of his commands too minor or too great. But as he reveals his will to you, obey him in all things. Follow him all the way. And your reward will be great in heaven. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning, for his name's sake.